Hey, you. Yeah, you. I'm Crispy.
I'm Zap.
Are you a parent?
Are you a nerd?
Do you need a new group of friends?
Well, we got new episodes every week.
And you get to participate in all of our game segments. Our show, Super Dad Bros, is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Check us out on your drive to work.
In the shower.
Anytime. We're going to be there for you.
We are Super Dad Bros.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Wendy.
And welcome to the Toasted Marshmallow Adventures podcast. Today, tonight, in our Boise studio, we have the winner of Idaho's Best Comedian Competition with us, comedian Dylan Hunter. Yes. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, you two.
So awesome.
Okay, so let's get into just because this is one of the notes I just made. And Wendy brought this up to me here.
Make sure you put that in.
Yeah, it's something about asking about your magic cards.
Oh, yeah.
Instagram.
I'm a big Magic the Gathering nerd.
That was Chris's guess.
Yeah. I was like, I don't think they're like actually like a magic deck of cards that he's doing tricks with.
Sorry to disappoint. I'm not a magician. I am a Naya main. Very
I know
different.
Nothing.
No, it's all right.
Does that start with Dungeons and Dragons?
The two have kind of an interrelated history, just in that magic was kind of invented to give nerds something to do while they were waiting to get into like Gen Con and some of those like old school D&D conventions. And they have since come under the same umbrella of Wizards of the Coast, which is the subsidiary of Hasbro that just owns all toys. So
right. yeah, pretty much.
Are you familiar with Rick Glassman?
Rick Glassman,
comedian, lives in LA. Huge Magic the Gathering human. You should check out his podcast.
It's a very interesting.
It's hilarious.
Podcast.
Yeah. He also is on the spectrum. Yeah, so it's a really great, but he talks about Magic the Gathering. Yeah.
Awesome. And has that show on, I think, Amazon Prime right now, As We See It.
Yeah.
And it's about people with autism, pretty much. I've only watched one episode, but.
Awesome. Is that Rick Glassman?
Yes.
Rick Glassman, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Funny
Definitely
guy.
Check that out.
Okay, so the only experience I have with Magic, and this isn't saying anything about you, is in a psych hospital.
Oh, hey.
Not related.
You know, that must have been nice because you have a captive group to play with. Sometimes I wish my play group would actually just all decide to be in one place for a change.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
So can you play that online or how does the...
There are ways. It's a very complicated game, and so the software that people use to do it, you can be kind of
sketchy.
Even more, well, just not very user friendly. So I mostly just prefer to play in person. So it's been a while after when 2020 happened and everything. I kind of just put away my decks for a couple years. And
was that hard?
Yeah, but I mean, so much else was changing. It's not quite like I was sitting there being like, oh, I can't play my Rhino deck.
Everything else is screwed also.
Yeah. I should also come clean with that bio of mine.
Okay.
My girlfriend wrote it.
And, oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And it's like, okay, yep, you've...
Comedian, beer,
magic, and it's
cards.
Like, yep, and it's like, that's how you see me, and it's not wrong.
Same girlfriend? That you have now?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Nice.
Yep, Melissa. Yeah.
So it
awesome.
Worked.
So magic, yeah. So I wasn't a patient in the psych hospital. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I worked at a psych hospital for almost 9 years. And the kids would always, I worked with teenage boys for a long time. And they would always try to get me to join their magic game.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't have time to learn this. I have only 15 minutes, so I got to do my next set of observations on it.
Is it pretty intense?
It can be pretty complicated. You know, the format I play, it's called Commander, where you have 100 card decks. None of them can be the same card. And so part of the fun, there are people who build decks just to, like, do crazy things with them, like rule technicalities and stuff. Austin Von Johnson, I don't know if you've had him on the show.
No, haven't had him yet.
Yeah, great comedian, great improviser. He builds some wild Magic the Gathering decks. We have a lot of fun playing. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, cool. I remember kids making these decks, and there was one group of kids. They were one of the worst groups we've ever had.
Oh, no.
And they made what they called a slut deck.
Oh.
Do you know what that would consist of?
I feel like it would be incriminating if I said yes.
Okay.
So we'll go with no.
Okay, good.
I have no idea.
And Magic was the game that repeatedly got, like, taken away for a while and brought back because the kids would, like, barter with it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And shit that. Yeah. So it was actually big problem in the psych hospital for a long time. And if you brought it back into the system, you had to, like, set up rules for it. But then you have rebellious teenagers and don't give a shit about rules sometimes, you know. So
and those cards, like, have real dollar value outside of just, like, this.
Yeah.
I want to be clear. This isn't just, like, you know, trading for cigarettes kind of situation.
Value.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've spent over $100 for a single piece of cardboard. I'm not proud of it.
Whoa.
But also, like, hardcore Magic the Gathering player would hear that and be like, that's all?
Wow.
You need at least four copies of that card.
You really like the game.
Yeah. It's just, it has a lot of avenues for self-expression.
Is it a game that continues for days, or does it ever end?
It feels like it. No, you just go until, like, it's the last person standing sort of deal, which, like, a game of Monopoly can be pretty quick, or it can be long and drawn out. So it kind of depends on who's playing, what sort of decks they're going with. The most recent deck I built, it's like all samurai, all just wanting to be attacking all the time. So either I win or lose, but, like, I'm just kind of going to go out in this, like, blaze of glory.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, if it's the last man standing, don't you want to just be attacking all the time?
You'd think.
I'm sure the strategy is.
Yeah. The format I play is have, like, usually about four people playing at once. And if that's the way the game works, if you're attacking, then you're leaving yourself open. When there's three other people who get to take a turn before you get to go back and, like, get your shields up, the game tends to reward just building your army of minions and, like, sitting on it until you draw a card that says, like, oh, this one says I win the game.
Gotcha. But there's no offense and defense at the same time then, is what you're saying, usually?
There are ways, but, yeah, usually you just want to leave your shields up, as they say, but yeah, it sounds like the lamest thing in the world as I describe it, but you have to trust me. It's fun if it's your, like, cup of tea.
Yeah, if it's your thing.
Yeah, totally. So you just won Idaho's Best Comedian competition.
Yeah.
Now we've had our podcast for about 4 years now, and you know, we've interviewed many local comedians as well as national touring comedians, and I've seen your name pop up in my Facebook on, like, people
we've
you
never
may
seen
know,
you.
But I haven't seen you at a show.
No.
Are you, you know, and I don't, and maybe I'm not looking at the right stuff, but haven't seen your name a ton on, like, local stuff. So are you, what is my question here?
Am I a recluse?
Maybe that. Yeah. Are you,
maybe this is fill in the blank podcast.
You spend most of your time preparing in front of a mirror.
You know, I know those sorts of comics, and they do blow me away. You know, you never see them at an open mic, and then one day they just show up and, like, win a whole, like, comic of the month competition or whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't used to be that guy. Back when I started in 2018, I got the bug real bad. I, you know, at my height, I was going to, like, two open mics a week. I was a regular host over at Liquid Laughs. I got to open for, Brian Posehn is, probably the biggest name, but also, like, Gabriel Rutledge,
which we all had him on.
He's awesome. We've had him on.
He's fantastic.
He's such a nice person, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually bought his book, Happiness Isn't Funny.
Yeah.
And he signed it for me. And he just said, "You won't read this." Which
is true.
Gabriel, if you're listening, I've gotten several chapters in, but it is, you capture the darkness of being a traveling comic so bad that I'm like, if I want to stay with this profession, I have to set this down for a little bit.
I'm going to send this to him.
Yeah.
We just had him on.
He's recent. Yeah.
Yeah. He is so funny.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Yeah. Yes. Like, he's like the kind of guy you can hang out with.
Yeah.
You know, and just be chill yourself.
Yeah. I remember being backstage with a man. He was kind of getting warmed up and he would just go around like the pool table at Liquid being like, "This guy knows what I'm talking about. This guy knows what I'm talking about. This guy knows what I'm talking about."
At the pool table?
Yeah. Just like to
pumping himself.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was cool.
Oh, that's cool.
But
yeah.
So did you do your news interview today?
I got interviewed yesterday and
okay.
They held off releasing it because they were waiting for the official footage from the Idaho's Best competition to come through. So big thanks to Beth Norton, not only for constructing that entire show and running it incredibly well. Like this, it was simultaneously the most complicated comedy event that I've been a part of, just in terms of the amount of comedians and the moving parts and getting the audience to vote and all these extra considerations that you don't normally get from like a regular comedy show. And then on top of that, she is coordinating us getting a video and headshots and
literally
sitting us down and being like, "Listen, write a bio. You're going to be professional about this."
Oh, you guys know? Wrote those.
Yeah. The
Love's girlfriend, right?
No, that's my
Melissa.
Online bio. Yeah. But I got another official one I can use for comedy. But the show went incredibly well, and then Beth like really stepped up and facilitated getting that video of my winning set over to the news crew so they could have something to cut away to and kind of show them what the big deal was.
So were you nervous being on the news?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I was going to put my foot in my mouth one way or the other, but
they say no X, Y, and Z, like keep it clean or
honestly no, they didn't give me any direction. They approached the whole thing a lot like how like when you're getting your shot or whatever, a vaccination, that a doctor would do. You know, they don't actually tell you like, "Okay, I'm gonna shoot you now." Like it was the like as I was getting the lavalier mic and everything set up, the dude was just like asking me questions, just general like, "Oh, where are you from? Like, how long you been doing this?" And we sat down, we kept going, and then eventually I just realized
we're on.
Oh, the camera's on. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. And so it's just like a very natural way of kind of easing me into it,
because they assume you might have nerves and
so that was a cool little technique I got to observe.
We should incorporate that instead of just be like, "We're starting now."
I was honestly on my guard. I was like, "Okay, we got the drinks here.
I'm not
all right
saying anything bad right now." That's awesome. So how did this start? How did Beth come to people, or did you just hear about it and you decided to enter, or how did that work?
This is something that I've heard Beth talk about for a long time. I think, you know, back in like 2018, 2019, she was kind of bringing up this idea about, you know, we need a show that can also serve as an opportunity to give local comedians like some tangible resources that they can then go on to use to build their careers. And I was always like, that's a cool, great idea. Like,
And then
one day I got this email that was like, "It's happening." I was fortunate enough to be one of the people on like her and Blue City's radar to just be like, "Hey, we're going to let you know this is happening before we start like general submissions. So if you want to do it, like, here you go." And I was like, "All right, I'm honored. I'm glad somebody still remembers me."
Had it been a while?
Yeah, no, I really fell off the map. I mean, well, 2020 happened, and then life. Yeah,
like, so you hadn't done it in a while, and you came back and won the competition.
I was hitting open mics like a madman
before.
Were you okay?
I was doing like.
So it wasn't your first time back.
No. I didn't just walk out on that stage. Okay. I was going to like.
That'd
three
be amazing.
Mics. But... yeah. I was going to like three mics a week.
Did you have new stuff sometimes to work out or?
It was largely just trying to remember my old stuff.
Okay.
And see if like, because I had some like COVID material, but it had been a bit. And so I'm like, oh, well, does this still work? And the answer is kind of.
Yeah. Well, depending on everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of factors.
Yeah. What variant we're in.
Yeah.
Right.
It's true. Yeah.
Jeez. So you started comedy in 2018, kind of fell off the map during the pandemic. Did you do... road gigs or anything prior to the pandemic or
not super formal road gigs. The one infamous one that I did was actually another Beth Norton show. she put together a group of comics to go up and do comedy at the Gold Mine Saloon in Idaho City.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Stop and... bragging.
Yeah, that's what I knew. I made it big. They gave us enough money for gas. Yeah.
To get there and back. Yeah. It was there.
We got to the venue, and at the time they had a like big light up sign for Leinenkugel beer. And it was the middle of winter, but it was like, oh, a Leinenkugel, that sounds good. Like, so I walked in and I tried to order a Leinenkugel at the bar, and the bartender just looked at me like, a what? We got Bud Light, like, and I was like, there's a sign out there. It's like, oh yeah, the new owner just throws up whatever he wants. I don't know about that. Okay.
Not even a type of beer.
No light, no, you know, lemonade beer for me, I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, did you start going to the open mics again because of the competition you were going to be in it?
I popped in a little bit earlier because I was also in like the February Comic of the Month competition.
Oh, cool.
I didn't go as hard in the training for that. And I fully expected to lose when I went into it. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do poorly. I'm going to. It's going to light a fire in me to get back out there and practice. And then I won the whole thing.
You
won
really?
The Comic of the Month?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hear that.
Well, what the?
That's
why
awesome.
Are you not? Why don't you have a Netflix special yet?
Why don't you have a bigger Instagram presence?
Because
this is not an interrogation.
She finally, it was because of that Comic of the Month win that literally, like, somebody came up to me after the show. It's like, hey, like, where can I follow you on social media?
I don't know.
Like, friend me on Facebook. Like,
yeah.
And pray that I remember to message that I'm doing this thing.
Oh dang, yeah. It stinks, but it's a huge part of it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I'm so bad at promoting
it's
myself.
Also us. Yeah, we have to force ourselves to
well,
like,
I don't know.
It's a whole...
I don't feel like we're bad at it anymore.
We're getting better.
Yeah, but it's a lot of time.
Can I say you two have a great thumbnail game?
Oh,
like,
oh
that,
thank
that
you.
That is huge.
Thank
like,
you.
That's a lot, especially for like a primarily audio format. You like the extra attention to detail there.
Oh, thank
is,
you.
Is,
we try.
You don't
but
see
man,
that.
It's a lot.
Oh, it,
with like a whole other life. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like
yeah.
all this stuff going on in the background. We're like, okay, did you put that out? Did you do that?
You're yeah.
Like,
I mean, the podcast and just. Putting promoting stuff,
and promoting
you know, making
people.
Graphics,
yeah.
clips, and things like. I mean, that's another job. It's at least 40 hours a week.
Yeah. Right.
So we are busy, and we're taking care of a mom with Alzheimer's
yes.
at the same time.
Yeah.
Right. And so yeah, it's crazy. We get it done. Sometimes someone breaks down a little
yeah.
bit. You know,
that could be
but
me.
Yeah,
could
it
be me. Once
yeah.
in a while. More
yeah.
you than me,
yeah.
but you know, I have my
There's
moments once in a while.
Occasionally.
Like, yeah.
What do we know?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I think it's beneficial. So
oh,
yeah, if you yeah. have a YouTube presence, Instagram.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah. these days it's all about the internet.
Yeah,
so.
Lessons learned. I was definitely too too comfortable in my comedy life in 2019, especially. I was like just one of those comedians that was considered like very safe to like ask last minute to do a hosting gig anywhere. Okay. And so I was kind of just like on call is like a gun for hire. And it's like, oh yeah, you need a host. Okay. But oh, you need a feature. Cool. But like, and, didn't feel like I had to promote myself that much because I wasn't doing like headlining stuff. And part of me just wanted to be like this surprise to people who come out and it's like, oh, wow, who's that guy? So it made me very hesitant to like share videos and
Is this your girlfriend?
Oh, yep. Hey.
She said, I'm working on it.
What's she working on?
She's working on his presence.
Oh, nice. Well, thank you, Melissa. Yes. So the next podcast it wants to have him on, they'll have a little more information.
Right. Yeah. Sorry we couldn't get that that 208 interview out yesterday. So we all would have a little more to work off of.
But if you're going to go and win things, you probably should. Like people want to know things. That's true, crazy.
I have to like come clean with myself and stop telling myself this is a hobby. Like,
oh, for sure, yeah. Thanks
to this win, this will be the second time that I have to like file taxes because of comedy money.
Oh, dang.
And I feel like if there's paperwork involved, that's you can't call it a hobby anymore.
Huge following in India.
Whoa,
which is crazy. Wow. Yay. Get yourself on YouTube, Melissa. Sorry,
Melissa, yeah,
but you will have a following. And people we know, just local, not just, but local comics are getting money from Reels, right?
Oh, yeah. I know Jake Martin's getting paid from his Reels on Facebook. So
gotta get on that.
It's
a thing.
It's a chore. It's
it
a job.
It is a chore and a job and a thing.
Yeah.
But if you got a Melissa.
If she likes doing that, throwing together some videos. And
she has a wealth of expertise that I'm just like, I don't know how to use Instagram. I haven't had Instagram installed on my phone for probably 2 years. Please
you
help.
You sound like me.
We had to learn how to use Instagram. Yes. Neither one of us used it. I made an account a long time ago. And at the time, I was like, I don't really take fucking pictures of myself. And Instagram was like all like pictures. You had to post, you have to poke a picture.
Yeah.
And so that's why I just like never got into Instagram. I was like, I don't feel like I'm looking good right now. I'm not feeling it. So but once we started podcasting, we were like, we got to figure out Instagram. And I switched that account from myself over to Toasted Marshmallow Adventures. And so we already had an audience there a little bit too. Like 125 people or so. 100 or so. Yeah. And they were probably like, who the fuck is Toasted Marshmallow Adventures? Right. And when did I follow them?
Oh, no.
So how did it feel in the competition? The first round, how'd you feel? Were there two rounds?
There were two rounds.
And you were judged each time by the audience only?
There were judges.
Dwight Slade was
there. Yep. Okay. Dwight Slade, Sophie Hughes. Sorry, I forget the name of the third judge, but she no longer, or he or whoever they were, they don't have power over me anymore. They can't knock me down now. But it was the first round was especially nerve wracking because it's, you know, you had to do 5 to 7 minutes.
Okay.
Of solid material, and whatever jokes you told, you couldn't use that in the finals.
Oh, wow.
And so.
And the finals were the next day or 2 days?
For me, that was, I did my preliminary round on Thursday.
Okay.
And then there was another set of 12 comics that had their own preliminary round on Friday. And then the finals were the top four from each of those two groups.
On Saturday?
So top eight on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so going up against, you know, 11 other extremely talented comics and being like, whatever jokes I try to use to get on into the top four are burnt, like that's gone. And I just decided, like, you know what, I'm going to do like material that I feel like is my solid B side tracks. And if that doesn't get me in, then fine, I probably didn't deserve to win anyway. But I wanted to make sure that if I did get through.
You had
that I had all of my A stuff to swing with.
Awesome. What was the crowd like?
On Thursday, the first night, they were, you know, a Thursday crowd. They were, they had to work in the morning.
They're not excited about being there. They're like, we're
not
doing
as drunk.
This. No.
Lots of polite chuckles.
Okay.
Lots of,
So a little rough.
A little rough. Yeah. Left. I think all of us were a little bit like, I don't know if I did that good, but also relative to everyone else, it seems like it seems like everyone's writing they're fine on their voting sheets.
So what did they write? I mean, was it just A, B, C, and D? Or
This was one of the smartest things I saw this competition do. They literally just had hearts and that you could color in with crayons that they left on the table.
Oh, so hearts?
For the audience.
For the audience voting. Yeah, so you just like, there
was
our pictures, like great caricatures of us done by Catherine Lizarraga. And it made it very easy for the people to just be like, okay, I get to color in four hearts. And
crayons on the table. Yeah. That's amazing. Right?
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I don't know who came up with that design choice, but that was so smart. Yeah.
So you got some hearts.
Got some hearts.
Who'd you go up against? Who were you most, nervous about certain people?
Gosh, a ton of them.
Chris, can I have that other fireball right there?
Oh, yes.
Or Dylan. Thank you.
Here you go. Yeah. I mean, there were so many folks that I was like, oh, I could see them running away with this whole thing. I mean, like Alicia Donahue, I hadn't seen her in forever, but...
Do we know that name?
I know the name, but I don't know.
She was a big mover and shaker back in the before the apocalypse, before the comedy apocalypse. And she came back all cylinders firing. Like,
really?
She really got that Thursday crowd going.
Oh, cool.
And like watching her is like, oh boy, she's going to, not only is she going to get through, like she's going to be the person to beat.
Yeah.
And then on the Friday side of things, I wasn't directly competing with them, but you know, people like Oleg Shevchek, who was a huge inspiration for me coming into the comedy scene. LJ Sullivan, he's fantastic.
Yeah, great.
Well, LJ, come out with a new episode of your podcast. I'm waiting. I listened to the last one. Okay, continue. Yeah,
gotta stay on that algorithm, dude.
Yeah.
Come on.
Look at you.
Talking
algorithms now, Melissa.
I don't know. What have I become?
I know. In 1 or 2 days.
Yeah. The price of fame.
It's gotten to you.
No, but there were, gosh, I like the issue with me like naming names is now I feel
so many.
I have to go through and list all of them. But
no, everybody is listed.
Tell us who you like the least.
Oh, me.
Yourself. Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't be here if I didn't have that attitude.
Yeah.
Is that so? That is a thing. Like comedians have a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we've noticed. We have a thing because we're here.
Right.
But you guys also have something that's driving
kind
you.
Kind of self-criticism.
Which is so crazy to be up on stage and feeling that way.
I think, I don't want to I'm not a psychiatrist or anything, but laughter is a very immediate form of social validation that can't easily be faked. Fake laughter is very hard to do convincingly. And so I think from a young age, a lot of us figure out oh, that's genuine.
And that
works. Mom might say oh, you're the prettiest princess there is. But she's just saying that maybe because you're her princess. But, but you get a good... solid laugh out of mom. It's like, all right, that's talent. Yeah. So that's real.
So was this your thing from childhood? Did you want to do this?
I mean, my mom would always say oh, are you a comedian? Whenever I was joking around with her, I saw an early, I got introduced to SNL very early on, and I was just like, what is this? You can just
what
get
era?
Paid.
Yeah, exactly.
This would have been late 90s, early 2000s.
Like, what was the cast at the time?
Gosh, I think Jimmy Fallon was still
Fallon,
there.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the first episode I saw was one where they had Will Ferrell on. I can't remember, but he was doing like his George Bush impressions and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, so it would have been 2000s. But yeah, and then I just like started finding George Carlin and stuff on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is like, this would be so cool. I told my mom when I was like 12 that my plan was to joke my way through college, which if you talk to my professors, they would
pretty sure you did.
Say, yeah, it's one way to
did
joke.
You graduate?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes.
With what?
A degree in history.
Congratulations. Yeah. That's huge.
Use that degree.
No, never.
No, we don't. Okay. We just have them.
Right. Yep. But
it does feel good to accomplish that, to get the paper and be like, okay, I finished one thing.
That money was for something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah.
So do you have a day job?
Yeah, I'm a marketing copywriter.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to say what company because they pay me to advertise them with my words and I am off the clock.
Yes. Oh, nice. Yes, yeah. Yes,
they're not getting that out of me.
Don't give them anything free.
Yeah, it's true. Especially in this day of an age of like working from home, you got to have like a clear delineation between like I am working and I am
off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've done that. Yeah. I was like, this it's Sunday. I'm not answering these emails today.
Yeah.
You know, this is the Lord's day.
Yeah.
You never thought that.
No.
But yeah, I mean, if I could extend some external blame to like why I'm so bad at the social media game, in part it's because I'm like writing SEO blogs every day, and when I get off work I'm like, I don't need this. I don't I spend all my energy promoting these people who aren't me, and
that actually
then it's
makes
like
sense now.
I just want to go to an open mic and be told I'm funny. I don't need people to know I'm here. Now I'm getting nervous because, you know, that news interview played a lot of clips from my set, and I'm like, oh, is this going to be like old news now when I bring it out? You know,
can't
just surprise
it.
People with the Jim Zamzos impression,
right? We haven't seen it.
No, we have. So is your clip out of your like winning set from the competition?
Not the full clip. Okay. This is again like thank you, Beth. She got on her video guy and he scrambled to get footage to KTVB. But like I won't have access to the clip for like 2 weeks or something.
Oh, okay.
So a big thank you for kind of rush delivering that production. But yeah, I would say that since y'all haven't seen me, a lot of my comedy is very local. You know, I talk about Idaho City, I talk about Jim Zamzo. And
do you have any Ammon Bundy bits?
See, that might be the bridge. Yeah, that might be the bridge to, you know, getting things where people outside of the state
maybe
recognize what I'm talking about, but have not quite gone into the depths of despair it would take to think about that.
Yeah,
man,
yeah, right.
Pew, pew, pew.
I know.
Yeah. But yeah, I was just going to say, like, when it comes to thinking about doing comedy on the road and stuff, I'm like, whew, some of my best bits are very region locked.
Okay.
You know, can't go out to, like, Los Angeles and be like, okay, so there's this guy, Jimmy Z. We're going to watch some YouTube videos real quick so you can make sure that I do a convincing impression of him. Yeah. There were some comics who I think were trying to psych me out during the competition. They were like, oh, are you really going to do that? Like, you're going to have that on your video? Yeah. I was like, cool, okay, you don't want me to do this as my closer. It means you're afraid of it. So I'm definitely going to close with it. But
And did you win $1,000?
I did.
What?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Nice, nice. And
awesome.
Got the other stuff like the headshots and things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, the great thing is, yeah, everybody got the headshots and the video and all that good stuff.
Now, I don't think I've seen your headshots posted on your social media. Is that correct?
Those are my headshots. The like laying down.
Oh, that is. Yeah, okay. Yeah, oh, speaking of that and the thumbnail game, actually already started making your thumbnail for this episode for YouTube, but since I didn't bring the computer, this is audio only.
You'll have to trust us.
Yeah,
you'll have to trust us.
This was kind of a rough draft that I made so far, but it was with that with that photo.
Heck yeah.
People listening, you won't see that. Sorry. I forgot the fucking
it's
laptop.
Very good. Use your imagination.
Yeah. I'll tell you about it.
Theater of mind.
So, Thousand Bucks. Jack.
Jack Wheeler. Second place. Yeah. We just had him on.
Burt Kreischer?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Well, he's so humble. I met this kid.
Literal kid.
Yeah, sorry. Don't say that.
No,
he's a child.
He's actually very young.
You cannot buy him a beer.
right.
No.
He could. You could, but he'll... He's save it for later.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
He's good at providing alcohol to minors charge.
Yeah. He's fantastic. And yeah. I met him for that Comic of the Month competition in February.
Cool.
I was just like, who's this guy?
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't lead with like, this incredible credit. But he taking second place, that was wild.
Yeah.
He's going places.
That's how I feel. Yeah.
We were at the Burt Kreischer show you know, when they started talking about they met a local comedian.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this going to be? You know, running through names in our head. And then Jack Wheeler, they announced Jack Wheeler.
We were dying. Yeah. Like, oh, my God.
Jack Wheeler.
Yeah. Craziness.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I feel like his performance in this competition is like the perfect answer to... anyone who was like making fun of him for getting that credit early,
nice.
Or you know, like kind of roasting him and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, it wasn't just like right place, right time. He deserved to be on that stage.
He actually killed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He would tell the truth, I feel like, oh, that was a tough night or something.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, the audience was supportive.
Was
mm-hmm. I mean, he told some solid jokes too, you know?
Yeah.
So it was pretty awesome to, see him up on that stage, and then we're like, well, let's get you, because we had only talked to him at that point on like Instagram, some messages back and forth, and we're like, oh, you got an awesome story to tell. Come on. So we actually had Jack Wheeler, LJ Sullivan, and Jake Martin on the same episode.
Were super sad that they did not make it to the open mic at the lounge.
Because Burt Kreischer came here after the show.
Yeah.
And we were at the show and we saw the post for the open mic.
And we're like, doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it was like a pop-up open mic.
Which,
when we did not see the text that said special guest.
Ooh.
And we went home. Back to Nampa.
We could have come right here.
So we were at that point still happy for Jack
we were.
He was like, oh, it's awesome. He opened for Burt. And then the next morning we saw that Burt Kreischer was here in the same building where we have a studio.
Oh.
And we're the lounge's official podcast. And
we were immediately sad
and we started attacking each other.
No.
Why didn't we do that?
God.
who is your favorite comedians? Who inspires you?
Favorite?
George Carlin.
George Carlin is, I think, just kind of a natural, out there. I really enjoy Stephen Wright in terms of like the old classics.
Hilarious, yeah.
Yeah, and I wish I used to try to do his like demeanor on stage, I remember Montana Burke following me once after an open mic. It's like, that guy sounds miserable. I hope he's okay. I was like, okay, I'm not nailing like the deadpan thing. I'm just gonna
he's got like the one-liners down.
Oh, 100%. Yeah,
yeah.
The old like, I got some powdered water, but I didn't know what to add.
Yeah. Or one of my favorite ones of his, like, My friend has a trophy wife. Unfortunately, it wasn't first place.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, his love of wordplay is really inspiring. In terms of like locally, Sophie Hughes was the first time I saw her before I even came to an open mic. Like, I was just in town, there was a comedy show. She was like the person who took me to my seat and sat me down, and then she like went right up on stage and like crushed, and I was like, holy shit, like this is one radical comedian. It's we have so much talent in this scene.
I agree. It's amazing.
And that's what this competition felt like, was just like a celebration of some the just great working comics that we sometimes can take for granted just because it's like, oh yeah, it's
local. No, but we travel around and see comedy, and we're like, so-and-so's better than so-and-so, you know?
Sometimes, we saw a better set in Boise than we did.
We're super supportive of, and we want everyone here to win. Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah. If you're a friend, we want you to be first place.
Of course. Yeah.
Even if there's four of you, they got first place.
Yeah.
And I mean, doing comedy in a competition format, it's kind of silly to me. Okay. Just in the sense of like, yes, I had seven more comedy points than the next person, and there I get the trophy. It's so subjective.
Yeah.
Whoever won and who even got into the finals is so dependent on like who's in the audience, what kind of day did they have?
Of course.
It's very subjective, but I can also understand it from like a business perspective of like, we are dumb animals and competition gets our blood going, and it's a show.
I mean, it is bringing people to a location, and that's cool.
Exactly. And just adding that competitive element, I think, just brings it to a whole other level.
Brings sports into it.
I mean, it definitely had me way more like nervous and practicing, just because I didn't want to perform poorly. I wanted to know that I gave it my best shot and kind of see how that stacked up. But at the same time, it's not like that's
like an end
thing you can truly
all
quantify. Yeah, we're not like, hey, we solved comedy, we did it, and we're
He's
done.
He's the one.
Yeah, exactly.
There it is.
So
you're welcome.
but I understand it. Just I feel like they got a lot more people to come than if you had just said like, we're having a 3-night showcase
of
local comics.
That's the amazing thing about what they did.
Yeah.
Like, we need to promote comedy in the Treasure Valley. Yeah.
We couldn't be there.
Beth and Haley on our podcast.
We did. Yeah.
And it was a good episode. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. We couldn't be there, and they wouldn't be getting ticket sales from us. So we actually did a sponsorship for the show, not bragging or anything, but we wanted to like support the scene,
to be
in
on all these things.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that.
Oh, you're welcome.
And we're like, crap.
So much stuff we miss,
but
I mean, I guess we left. You know, we did the sponsorship. We did a donation for the auction for here.
I know. We did things.
We did things,
Just it really
we didn't get to see them is what it was.
Comedy is going on in Boise. I mean, because we left for 4 days, we missed six things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't think people realize how much is going on here.
No.
You can do something every night.
It's
really,
yeah.
You can do open mics. Aren't there Sunday open mics?
There's that one at the Edge now.
I think it's
like every other Sunday.
And now there's a fourth Friday somewhere that I just saw.
Open mic?
Yeah.
Oh,
it was just listed on Facebook. I was like, crap, I didn't
And the Crescent has that fourth Friday
thing
too. And
it's pretty amazing for a really, I mean, we're growing, obviously. We've all driven lately.
Yeah.
You know there are more people.
Yes.
But like, it's pretty amazing. I would I am hoping that people will start to come out. Like, yeah, this is a thing. Like, yeah, come and follow your favorite comedian, or
it's,
and just see what's out there.
Just the like the audience attendance at some of these open mics too has been better than I ever would have imagined. Yeah, like back in the day, 2019.
Yeah,
You know, it was you were lucky to like get people who knew the open mic was even happening.
Okay.
Like most of the time, you're like ambushing people trying to watch Monday Night Football.
Oh, okay.
You know, you like come out with your microphone and they get that look in the mirror of like, oh god,
panic.
can I finish this beer in time to leave before looking rude?
Mm-hmm.
And then that was a challenge that you had to like rope them in. And now, you know, like the Mad Sweets downtown location is like packed on a Thursday.
Yes.
Like consistent.
Wow.
And
killing
it's different
it.
People too. Like
right.
It would be one thing if it was just like the same group,
yeah,
but it's all like fresh blood like
that's
coming in.
Amazing.
It's I don't know.
Yeah, we've noticed that.
Yeah.
Like how is the Mad Sweet killing it
like
that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even their late mics as well on Saturday, pretty darn good. I remember there's a newer comic on the scene, and I don't know when he started, but like I hadn't seen him before, and he was complaining about like, oh man, there's only like 10 people
You're
in
like,
there.
10?
I was like, yeah, like back at OK Good Night, the old Liquid Laugh Saturday late mic, you were lucky if there were four comedians who were,
yeah,
and they were the ones who were going after you, and they were just staring at their notes, not listening.
One time, Chris and I were the only ones at the Crescent.
Oh, for open mic. This is pre-pandemic,
yeah,
like
brutal.
A month before. Yeah, we're the only ones there.
Yeah.
Because that's when we started having comedians on our podcast. And, so when they start telling us about this open mic every Monday at Crescent,
yeah,
and that's when I still wasn't back to work because I had a shit ton of surgeries and
shit
year. Yeah. It was all crazy. And so we're like, we started going, and yeah, the first couple of times we're the only people watching. We're the only audience.
You feel it.
Fucked.
Yeah.
A little bit fucked.
Those are the mics that can either be
painful
yes, or incredible.
Yeah.
There's like either side,
yeah,
of this,
ours were
nothing
painful
in the middle.
Oh, we were like, ah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the most painful part, and we've talked about this before
Derek
on the podcast,
Hayden.
But Derek Hayden, do you know Derek?
Oh, I love Derek Hayden. I miss
yeah,
that guy so much.
It was brutal.
So we're sitting there. Yeah. I mean, it's an open mic, you know?
I mean, we totally got that.
We weren't
but
laughing at
like,
his material.
He was like, do you guys get what an open mic is?
You get what's happening? He's like, do you know what's happening here? I'm like, this is what we came for. And in my head, I was thinking, we'll laugh when something's funny.
Yeah,
right.
He was working on stuff,
but yeah,
so we
totally
understood, but it was so awkward.
It was just a little bit awkward, and I don't hold
him.
It against him or anything. Like, he's doing his thing, he's creating,
course,
you know, a deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a little bit awkward, that one.
he's a prolific writer. All of his stuff just makes me bust up.
Yeah.
And he's very good at kind of being on the fly with audiences sometimes.
Yeah,
and
being but
like,
with
you know,
two
this,
that are just
that's
like
yeah, yeah.
I have your crowd work on point with two people.
We all have those
yeah,
mics.
Yeah,
he felt 100%. Bad. For sure, he felt bad.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
I don't
we're
know.
So sorry, dude.
What's funny is that I often like feel there's the opposite side of that where you have a packed open mic, which now happens like all the time at the suite, but like back in the day when you'd have like, oh, it's somebody's birthday party and they brought everyone to see them like sign up or whatever, you have that temptation of like, oh, there's stuff I want to work on, but I also want this huge group of people to know that I'm a very funny, very
good.
So it's like, do I just play the hits?
Right.
Or, you know, it's hard to find that balance, because there's sometimes it's tempting to let open mics just become like this little ego hit, but then you don't learn anything, you don't grow.
It's a balance, and we felt bad and we've talked about it in other podcasts.
Yeah, we have.
Did he go to Austin?
I think that is where
that's what
he
we thought
went. Yeah,
have you been watching Casey Rocket?
Oh,
because
god.
Oh my god,
yeah, he's blown up.
He's gonna be opening for Red Band on the road, right?
Yep.
Yeah, from that Kill Tony episode.
Well deserved.
Amazing.
I mean, I've seen a lot a lot of like local comedy, mm-hmm. he is the only one who would consistently get me like hiccup laughing.
Yeah, and I was just dying at the Crescent.
And part of it is like that really off the wall sense of humor he has.
Yeah.
I think especially hits comics hard because we you know, we start to see the scaffolding in other mm-hmm. people's jokes,
yeah.
you know, and when they're very bread and butter, like I went to the store the other day, you know, you're immediately like, kind of start critically yeah. analyzing. But when he's just like, put coins in me, mommy, like,
what is that?
The crab.
Yeah, exactly. It's a whole other ball game.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So we contacted him about being on our podcast, and he's like,
when he had first gotten to Austin,
he's like,
right?
I'm living in my car right now.
At the time. I'll get back to you when I have a motel for the night.
Now
he won't get back to us.
Yeah.
We're so impressed. That's an amazing thing to do.
Well deserved.
Yeah.
Funny dude, and takes it extremely seriously.
Yeah.
That's like one thing I feel like audiences often didn't get to appreciate is like he comes on stage and makes it look so natural, mm-hmm. but like before a set, he like you can't talk to the guy. He is completely just like going through his set, going doing his thing, like, and that's a sign of a great comic is like mm-hmm. no matter how much success he's had in the past, he feels the like need to do well at every single time it goes up. Doesn't matter if it's an open mic, if it's a special, a headlining set, like he takes it so seriously.
Right. This is my chance.
Yeah.
Would you ever go to Austin?
Oh boy, howdy. I'm comfortable right now.
Okay.
And that might be a danger to my comedy career, but also like we're living in these extremely uncertain times. And so I'm kind of like, I just want to hold on to the nice little life that I have and get some laughs on the
goals.
Way. Yeah.
What are you thinking?
I mean,
like long-term.
Long-term, I'd like to start...
I mean, are you happy where you're at, or you want to grow it?
I do want to grow my comedy, just because it's one of the few talents I have.
Yeah.
And so it'd be a shame to let it languish, but I've thought about, you know, doing some touring of, like, the Northwest and, you know, mm-hmm. know some people out in, like, Portland and Seattle areas and stuff.
What if you hooked up with somebody like Nate does with Emmanuel? That'd be, awesome. No, I mean.
What if you hooked up with Nate Ford?
No,
I was like, well, that'd be a very hairy baby.
Well, I mean.
It would, yes. Yes.
No. Yeah, that, in fact, way back when another comedian and I were talking about doing that, and then 2020 happened, you know, so so it's just kind of getting back into the groove. And you know, I work from home now, so it's probably easier than ever for me to just like grab my laptop and hop in my Kia Forte and just fucking go.
Kia Soul. Yeah.
My mom has a Kia Soul.
Oh, nice.
So does Nate Ford.
Oh really?
Yeah, he does.
Nate Ford does not drive a Ford.
Okay. No.
Nate Ford, great comic.
Yeah.
Hope his job at Lowe's is going well.
Is he at Lowe's?
Last I heard, he worked there for like 2 days.
No.
He went
He works at Lowe's.
Oh, what? Which one? We got to go fuck with him.
He works
we're
at Lowe's.
We're fucking with Nate. Which mm-hmm. one? Tell us off the air.
Okay.
Wait, no, just tell us now. Nate Ford doesn't care.
No. He's an amazing comic.
He doesn't know anything about lumber, does he?
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I mean, if he works in lumber, we're not...
Right.
He's not gonna,
I think he's a cashier.
He's not like in a... You walk up to him and you go,
he's not your home improvement guy.
Yeah. That's... there's such a level of inside joke going on right now. I hope he sees it, and I hope he forgives me.
Of course he will.
Okay.
Yeah. we love Nate. He's amazing.
Nate is fantastic. Yeah. Hit that beer drinking bit he does.
Oh, that one's great.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like the best prop comedy work I've ever seen in my life.
Great.
And it's genius. Drink a beer on stage, and then generally you get somebody buys you another one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's a genius human.
Go. Yeah.
No, we've had him on three times.
Three.
We love Nate.
Three to four. Yeah.
And prior to, we had a party in November, and we consulted with Nate. We took him out to breakfast. We're like, how do we run this party?
Yeah, because we're basically producing a show for our 100th episode.
Yeah, he talked us through the whole thing.
Yeah, so he helped us out. Yeah, it was really
Nate's
cool.
Nate's an awesome human.
Awesome.
So yes. Okay, so I see coming up before we get out of here, you have a hosting gig somewhere.
Yeah.
Where's that at and when?
It is going to be at Brother Brown's Barbecue.
Okay.
Tomorrow?
Underground comedy show. It's on Friday.
Okay.
Which at first I got excited. I was like, is Friday tomorrow?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
This Friday, show starts at 8. You can get your tickets on Eventbrite. Okay. We have a lot of great, it's a stacked lineup. I'm so glad to be hosting. You know,
we got
LJ, Tina, Reese,
okay.
Samuels. Yeah, it's going to be fantastic.
Where is Brother Brown's? We've
never been it there. Is. Do you know where the El Cora Shrine is in downtown Boise?
No, I don't.
It's, I think it's off of, I don't want to guess because I don't want to give people the
Look
wrong
it
information.
Up.
But
yeah,
it's in the,
Google it.
Google?
Yeah, it's in the basement of the El Cora Shrine,
okay.
essentially.
Okay.
And I'm very excited because you get great barbecue and comedy.
What?
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Heaven. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Anything after that?
I think after that, I'm going to get a haircut and shave. And
what?
Then, yeah.
How much?
I'm kind of thinking going pretty radical with
really?
It.
All the way?
Like
look at this,
pretty,
folks.
Pretty heavily, yeah. Just because...
this is a lot. How many years is this?
Like this length or
this
are like
this
actually
is about
going?
2019. The last time I shaved, you know, I had been going to open mics and stuff. I had gotten some gigs, but there was kind of a lull and I had a lot of jokes about like my beard and the way I look. And I was like, okay, I need to like push myself to write new material. I'm going to, you know, shave my face, get a haircut and go out and work on new material. Literally the same day as I got a shave, Sophie Hughes contacted me. Was like, hey, can you host this weekend? It's like, yeah.
Oh, geez.
But I got nothing.
I'm going to.
I used to have a beard.
Going to have to do some crowd work. Yeah. That was great. Yeah, that was, I think that was Ben Glebe and Luke Severide, or I'm not sure which. I know Luke Severide was the feature at that one.
Oh, okay.
He's a very cool comic. If he comes through town again,
okay.
Definitely get him on the show. But
yeah.
So how short will the hair go, Melissa?
I mean,
does she have any say?
She is.
Does she love
my,
this look?
She is my hairstylist.
Oh,
so.
Nice.
She has all the
yes,
say.
She has.
She does the things.
My fate is in her hands completely. She did. Back when we started dating, she looked at a picture of me like pre-beard, and she just looked at me and said, "Don't shave." Nature's paper bag, but.
Eish.
That's when you know they love you.
Yeah.
Don't shave.
But yeah, I'm just looking forward to kind of pushing myself to do more writing, kind of get outside of my comfort zone and get
so
ready.
So did this win inspire you to continue
or go further? The great thing about this competition was I felt inspired like while getting ready for it. It really lit a fire in me and reminded me why I love comedy
cool.
so much. And winning was just an extra reason to be like, okay, cool. You won. You've been doing some variation of this set for, you know, couple years now. I mean, whether or not you want to count 2020, 2021 is another thing, but it's like, okay, time to push yourself to do new things. And like you have this set recorded, it's not going anywhere. Go write some new stuff.
Oh, cool.
So that's where I'm at now is nice. I just want to really get ready for that Comic of the Year competition coming up.
Is it coming?
In January. So
Comic of the Year?
Yeah, so all the Comic of the Month competitors and I think the runners-ups get to compete for
it. Awesome.
I'm calling, you know, I'm going for the double crown here.
Heck yeah, why not?
Yeah, damn. Yes. Yep. Well, thank you so much for being
you.
Here tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you for having
podcast.
Me.
Yeah. It's been great meeting you.
As well.
Yeah, we'll keep watching for your stuff. People can follow you, Dylan Hunter Comedian on Instagram and Facebook.
I think it's dylanhunter.boi.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Boy on Instagram, Dylan Hunter Comedian on Facebook. Keep near to the ground. I'll now endeavor to keep people in the know on what I'm doing.
Yeah, I mean, they'll hear this. I mean, millions of people will hear this podcast. So.
And next time I come on, maybe you'll have seen
exactly
do some comedy.
Yeah, I know exactly. All right, I'm signing out.
I'm signing off.
I'm Chris Adams.
I'm Wendy Mosier. Hashtag get toasted.
Stay toasted.
And thank you. Yes, thanks so much.
Thank you,
Melissa.
Thanks, sweetie.
Get that social media going.
That's right.